If you're in the habit of taking notes, there's a corresponding text to this story in Luke 11 that you can find in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 45. So again, if you're marking down this text here, Luke chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, you might also note that it is found as well in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 45. I want to begin reading this morning as we look at this passage and we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Luke. If you'd look at Luke 11, begin reading with me in verse number 17, Luke chapter 11, verse number 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, verse number 14, that starts the story. Verse number 14, he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Let's pray. We'll ask the Lord's direction as we look at this passage this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word this day. And we thank you so very much for the attendance and faithfulness of your people. We thank you for the many that are here on campus. And again, it's a delight to be able to see everyone face to face. And we're thankful for the many that are tuning in online. And as we gradually work our way back towards regular services, Lord, we just pray that you continue to protect this church and their physical well-being. And I pray that you'd again bless and protect in each ministry as well. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to meet around the Word of God. It is the answer for all of our needs. I pray that you would direct my thoughts this morning. I pray that this would be a help for each one that has come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the Lord transitions out of the story on prayer, and he is confronted with this matter that comes to him and the accusations against his ministry. And it's really two simple things that we break down in the passage this morning. It's really easy for us to see his response. Now, in the corresponding passage in Matthew chapter 12, you will see that the matter is addressed back to back. But here in Luke chapter 11, we're going to see that there's two questions that are asked in this attack against the Lord. And as those two questions are asked, we find that he deals with one, and then there's another little story, and then he deals with the second one. So it's a little bit divided up, if you would. So we'll deal with the nature of this first attack, and we'll walk down through what the Bible says about these individuals that had come against the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says that there's a verbal attack, a verbal attack. Would you look with me in verse number 15, and you'll note what is taking place. The Lord casts out a demon and dealing with demonic activity, and the Bible says the dumb spake, and all the people wondered. Now look at verse number 15. Here's the first attack. The Bible says he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And then here's the second attack. And again, we're going to see this in a section, a couple of sections ahead. But I want to read the verse here. And the Bible says the others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. So attack number one, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Attack number two, they sought a sign of him from heaven. Let's deal, first of all, with this verbal attack and the nature of what is said here in this passage. First of all, they are claiming that Christ is working for the devil. Now, take your Bibles, and I want you to see what he says back in Matthew chapter 12. And flow back there with me in Matthew chapter 12, because we find it delineated as a specific type of sin, a specific type of sin. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Again, this is the corresponding connection in another gospel, but I just wanted you to see two verses. And he identifies the nature of what they're doing here in Luke chapter 11. It's also identified in Matthew chapter 12. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. The Bible says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So we turn back to Luke chapter 11 and we ask ourselves, okay, what is this first sin that is very visible, that is very real, that is noted here in this verbal attack? It's blasphemy. Here it is. It is attributing the works of Almighty God to Satan himself. Attributing the works of Almighty God to Satan himself. Now again, we recognize that the Lord was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And as he continued to carry about and to perform miracles and to work there in that day and time in his ministry, we fully understand, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ performed all these things, and our triune God was active in every aspect of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when these individuals come along and they see Christ working, and they see those that are demonically possessed delivered, and then they take that miracle and apply it and attribute it to the power of Satan, it is a blasphemous statement. And it's very, very real to us, and there's a very clear understanding that they've attributed these matters to Satan himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes very clear that they're putting themselves in a very, very bad position. Now, I want you to see with me, as these attacks come against the Lord Jesus Christ, as these verbal attacks come, I want you to see, and this is where I want to spend our time, I want you to see the victorious answer that the Lord gives. And we'll spend our time in verses 17 through 26, because the Lord has a response to these attempts at destroying his work, or working against the work that the Lord was doing in the hearts and lives of people. So it boils down to three specific things that the Lord points to here in the passage. First of all, he deals with the matter of a house divided against itself. Would you follow along with me in Luke chapter 11 in verse number 17 and see what the Lord says here in this first response? Verse number 17, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges." This first matter is that of a kingdom working against itself. In truth, the attack makes no sense. So they see Christ deliver a dumb man, a man that could not speak. They see Christ deliver him from the power of the devil. And their verbal attack is such as to say, okay, we see what you're doing, but this is all done in the power of Satan. Well, the attack really does not make sense. But the Lord then reveals the nature of the stupidity of their attack. And again, if you have a youngster in the service today, yes, Pastor just said the word stupid, all right? I know how many parents said to their children, not say stupid, all right? Please forgive me, all right? Kids, please forgive me. Go home today. Pastor said that word. All right. This was an illogical statement to say that Christ would work in the power of Satan because it would be a kingdom working against itself. The attack makes no sense. Let's put a couple of illustrations on the table that perhaps drive this home for all of us. Perhaps you enjoy NASCAR. I enjoyed NASCAR many years ago when the cars were unique, and the cars, basically you put your car on the track and see who could go the fastest. And now they've basically made all the cars look the same, and they just put a different sticker on them. And so it's kind of boring. Let's pretend that your pit crew member, the one responsible for changing the tires as that car comes in for a pit stop, and as it comes in and they're supposed to be in and out in about 15 to 17 seconds, four tires and a full tank of gas, and the individual that's responsible for the back rear tire flubs up the lug nuts. And he's not prepared, and in the middle of the pit stop, he stands up looking for additional lug nuts in his pocket. And then the air gun that he's using doesn't work. And so he goes back over the wall, and he's looking through the toolbox and finding the air gun and everything like this. You'd say, well, that guy wouldn't have a job for very long. Well, of course. I mean, when those cars come in and they get the four tires and the full tank of gas, I mean, literally, this is occurring in about 15 to 17 seconds. Don't you wish that that's how Jiffy Lube worked? About 15 to 17 seconds, new set of four tires and full tank of gas and your oil change and everything like that. You say, well, Pastor, if that were the case, there's no way that they would keep him on their crew because they are making money off of their finish in every race. And you would just naturally say to me, you say, well, there's no way that they'd keep him around. They would fire that guy on the spot. They'd have him replaced with someone else the very next week. Someone who could do the job in the allotted time. There's no doubt about it. You would say, well, of course, that man is working against the desires or the focus of the team. Let's pretend. And you're an NFL person. And let's pretend that your cornerback for your team knows full well what his responsibility is, but week after week after week, several weeks in a row, he sees the receiver coming at him, and he knows the receiver is going to go this way, and he just makes the decision to go the opposite way. And the receiver is wide open and catches the touchdown, and the course of time, you lose a game, and then another game, or the same cornerback is also the punt returner on your team, and the ball's coming to him, and he just purposely looks over at the stands and waves at a cheerleader as the ball's coming down, and it goes right through his hands. Now, I know this might sound like a football team near you, but it's really not meant to be that visibly applied. But if he flubs all this kind of stuff, pretty soon the team is going to say, hey, you're not for us. You're not working for the same goal. We're divided against ourselves. Let's say you work at Chick-fil-A, and all you want to do is sell hamburgers. People pull up to your drive-thru. You're working the drive-thru. Good morning. Welcome to Chick-fil-A. Would you like a double cheeseburger? Probably not going to maintain that position for very long. Why? You've seen the billboards, we sell chicken, right? Probably not going to stick around that long. We could use all kinds of illustrations like this, and we'd understand it, and we'd see it very clearly. And we'd walk away saying, well, there's no way that person would stay on the staff, on the team, in the arena. There's just no way that that kind of thing would continue. But let's get real serious for a moment. And let's just think about our own houses. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so if we start to allow the seriousness of the principle that's listed here to really start to hit home, does the husband and wife in your home tear down their spouse and continue to destroy a successful marriage or what was a successful marriage? Is mom and dad, is husband and wife working against themselves in the home or against each other in the home? Are children working against mom and dad? Mom and dad are trying to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but at every turn, as a yoke of obedience that's put upon the young person is pulling and tugging and just cannot stand the way that mom and dad are seeking to help. It's true of a church. If I'm not working together with my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is certainly true of a church. And I could walk down through many, many, many churches that were once in existence, that were once running thousands of people, but they became divided. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. You see, we're willing to accept the illustrations that really have little to no application for us. You say, I'm not the cornerback on an NFL team. I'm not the tire guy on a NASCAR team. Those illustrations, yes, Pastor, you're right. But that's not any of me. That's not me. I'm not working in the fast food industry. That's not me. And so we kind of just shrug off the principle when we know full well that we have areas that apply to each one of us. And the principle that the Lord lays out is directly applied to the matter of Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. And he says, there's no way that I'm delivering these people from the demons of darkness and doing it in the power of the demonic leader. But I tell you what, if you take some time to really meditate upon this phrase, a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. I personally believe, I'm adding in that caveat, but I personally believe that the United States of America will not fall to a foreign entity. I personally believe that what you and I are reading here in these verses will be the downfall of the United States of America. And it will fall from within. I think you and I can see very real ways in which our country is divided today. I thought for a long time that we need to give one political party east of the Mississippi and one political party west of the Mississippi. If you cross over the Mississippi River, you know it's going to be this way on this side, and if you cross it over heading west, then you know it's going to be that way. A long time ago, I heard a gentleman by the name of Walter Williams, who was a teacher here at George Mason, and he said, I think all the, I can't remember the exact wording that he used, but he said, I think all of the conservative, God-fearing individuals need to move to Louisiana and Texas and secede. And I thought that was interesting, but I just watched day after day after day after day as to what's going on in our country. You're watching it now, all unfold. It's right before us. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And the Lord makes very clear that if he were working on behalf of Satan, that kingdom would not survive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? And then he makes very clear to believers, he says, for ye are the temple of the living God. A house divided against itself. Would you take time to meditate upon that statement and the myriad of ways that it might have application? in your own life at this time. Number one, Christ responds and says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Number two, would you look in verses 21 to 23 with me? The Bible says in verse number 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. The second principle that the Lord gives is the kingdom of God is greater and stronger than the kingdom of Satan. One commentator said it this way: the strong man in the passage, of course, is Satan. His palace is the world. His goods are the wretched people held under his sway, especially, and there are many of them, those who were demon-possessed. But the one who is stronger is Jesus himself, and the wholesale casting out of evil spirits by Christ is one of many demonstrations of Satan's utter helplessness before the Son of God. Satan's only strategy was wholesale and massive retreat. The kingdom of God is greater and stronger than the kingdom of Satan. Now, you know with me that after the Bible says that Satan led the rebellion in heaven and took one third of the angelic hosts of heaven with him, that some of them have been reserved in chains for the ages to come, but some of them were released into this earth, and they are active, and I believe here in 2020 they are active today. And Satan holds the keys to the kingdom, but the fact of the matter is that Christ, through his shed blood and death and resurrection, has delivered mankind from the chains of Satan. And through his shed blood, they can be saved. My friend, the kingdom of God is greater and stronger than the kingdom of Satan. And when you and I read this book, time and again, we see the active work of Satan, the active attempts of Satan to disrupt what God wants to do. And yet God's kingdom is greater. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the first response that Christ gives is, a kingdom's not divided against itself. If it was, it would fail. It would fall. It cannot stand. The second response that he gives is, look, Satan is a strong man, but he's armed and seeking to keep his place and keep everything under his care. But one stronger comes along, and that one stronger is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then look at the third response that the Lord gives in verses 24 to 26. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Let's look at this passage and let's break down these three verses then. So let's say that an individual opens himself up to demonic possession. And he, as he's open to this demonic possession, by the way, do we see this in other passages in Scripture? Sure, we've looked at the maniac of Gadara. We see this in the lives of individuals where they are demon-possessed. We've seen the one that was called Legion. And the Bible says that some 2,000 demons possessed that man. No one could control him. No one held sway over him. He broke the chains. He broke the bonds. He scared everyone in the community to death. He just wandered about, cut himself. All these things are going on. Let's pretend that an individual is demon-possessed. And through the process of time, they begin to think to themselves, you know what? I'm going to reform my ways, and I'm going to be a better person. And somehow, some way, in their own desire to bring reformation to their life, the demon says, I'm no longer going to abide in that individual. Okay, so let me just make up a scenario and you bear with me in the illustration, okay? Let's say that an individual gets involved with rock music and the world's music. The individual gets involved with drugs, legal or illegal drugs, and they begin to take drugs. They begin to drink alcohol. And we just find this cauldron of all these different substance controlling issues. So I'm taking in everything through the ear gate. I'm taking in alcohol. I'm taking in drugs and everything like this. And I just give myself over to other controlling influences, okay? And let's pretend that in the process of time, they get pulled over because they're under the influence. And so while they're under the influence, they're pulled out of their vehicle, they're given the sobriety tests, they're clearly under the influence, and they're put into jail. And the judge says, you have to serve 6 months. And let's pretend that in their service of the 6 months, now again, while they're in jail, they don't have access to a lot of the things that began to control their lives and control their minds, control what they would say, control what they do. It's just they don't have access to it while they're confined, while they're incarcerated. They finally get their, I'll use this word, their wits about them. They've been under the control of all these other things, and they open themselves up to demon possession. But now they're delivered in one sense, and they say to themselves, you know what? I'm going to reform my life. And I'm no longer going to drink. I'm no longer going to participate in drug use. I'm not going to listen to the world's music anymore. And so they, as a result of everything kind of being cleared out of the body, no more of these substances that would control them. They say, I'm going to clean up and I'm going to reform. But they don't get Christ. The third point that the Lord Jesus Christ makes here is reformation without regeneration leaves a man in far worse condition. Did you get that? Reformation without regeneration leaves a man in a far worse condition. Now let's look back at the passage again. Here's a man that's demon possessed. He's opened himself up to outside controlling influences. The unclean spirit departs out of him. He's gone out of him. The unclean spirit walks and goes here, there, and everywhere, trying to find some place. When he comes back to the house or the body that he once possessed, the Bible says he finds it swept and garnished. So the individual was incarcerated. The individual was put into a rehab center. He's given a time in which, through his own meditation and his own thoughts, he reforms the house, cleans up the inside. To the best of his ability, everything now looks better. But look what the Bible says in verse number 26. Then goeth he, this demon, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And then the last statement, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Reformation without regeneration leaves a man in a horrible condition. And as Jesus Christ is dealing with the demon or the demonic activity, as Jesus Christ is encountering the legions of the known world at that time, as he comes across them, and they know exactly who Jesus Christ is because they're created beings and they've known the Lord since they once dwelled in heaven. As Jesus delivers them, the difference between the reformation of that man and the regeneration that Almighty God will bring is that those men will never be under threat of demonic activity again. Because when Jesus delivers a man, they're delivered for all eternity. Mankind has all kinds of ways that we want to help other men pick themselves up and clean up the outside. We'll often make a statement, you know, and the individuals will say, well, you know what, I want to clean up a few things and then I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. No, my friend, you've got it backwards. You need to come to Jesus Christ and you need to be saved. And Jesus Christ's indwelling spirit is what will make the eternal difference for you and for me. They come to the Lord and they say, look, this one is doing all of this in the power of Satan. And the Lord responds and says, that's a foolish statement. There's no way that a kingdom would work against itself. There's no way that the satanic kingdom would allow me to drive out the companions of Satan. Understand this very clearly, that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He says to them, secondly, he said, look, Satan's a strong man. And to some extent, Satan has the power over this kingdom for this time. But I'm going to let you know that there is one strong man that will come that will deliver from this strong man. And of course, Christ went to the cross. And despite all of the activity and all the desires of Satan himself, and despite all the things that he tried to bring upon the matter, Jesus Christ was victorious and rose from the dead. And know this, my friend, the best way that you and I, all across this auditorium, from each side, the best way that you and I can help any relative or any friend or any coworker is not through the process of reformation. But my friend, according to this book, it is through the process that is only brought about by Jesus Christ, and it's regeneration. Say, what does my friend need? He needs Jesus Christ. I've interacted with young people from children's church all the way through the youth department and on into young adulthood and adults alike. And in every single scenario, my friend, reformation is never the answer. You must be born again. And Jesus makes very clear that if his power merely cleaned up for a little while the issues, that man would be worse than he was at the first. So who do you have? Who do you know in your life that's tried everything else but has yet to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you take time again to walk through your own life and to say, okay, Lord, what are the areas of my life in which a house might be divided against itself? What are the people that I know, or who are the people that I know that have tried everything but they actually need the Lord? Will you take the opportunity to introduce them to the one that will make all the difference in eternity? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, the opportunity to walk down through these three responses from the Lord Jesus Christ. He faces the verbal attack. Oh, he's working in the power of Satan. Show us a sign and we'll believe you. He faced these verbal attacks, but what a victorious answer. Our kingdoms are not divided, because our kingdom of Almighty God, is far superior. Almighty God has broken the chains of Satan and of his kingdom. Where Satan tried to bring the downfall of humanity and the destruction of creation, the Bible says Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he holds the keys to eternal life. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help each one of us to see that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And then, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, as we allow our minds to race to individuals that have tried to reform again and again and again, perhaps through the course of incarceration or the course of rehabilitation. They were given the opportunity to reform their outward, and they didn't have access to these controlling type substances. But the truth of the matter is that they've never been born again. And that is the primary need of their life. Would you help us in this time to be able to take their name before the throne of grace and to be able to pray for them right now? Perhaps there's an individual that's sitting here in the audience that's in much that position. They've tried reformation again and again and again and again, but they find themselves in worse straits than they were before. Well, today's the day. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Would you bring conviction to that heart? May they be born again. And I pray that you'd specifically put that name, that face, upon the heart of a believer here this morning. They know a friend, a relative, a neighbor, an associate that stands in need of regeneration. May we take time in this invitation to pray for them this morning. Lord, we have many areas of the arenas of a kingdom that we're involved in. And I do pray for our country. I pray that our country would return to its foundations upon the Word of God. I do pray for our church. I do pray for our homes. We'd not have division. We'd be united for the kingdom of Almighty God. If this morning there's a parent or spouse that's divided against another, Lord, would you work? If children have set themselves up against their moms and dads, would you work in that scenario? We pray that you'd accomplish your will in each heart and life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.